the book, the first steps, it opens with this question. And I find this question a very convicting question. If you were responsible to teach and to train a new Christian, would you know exactly what to do to maximize the chances that this new Christian would reach maturity? Somebody makes a decision to follow Jesus. It's your responsibility now to begin to disciple them, to mentor them. Would you know what to do? Or would you join the multitudes of saying, oh man, I don't know if I could do this. We need to get somebody else to do this job because they'll do it better than I can. Because we have some fears about it that we'll talk about later. But at this moment, here and now, would you be able to help maximize the chances of that new Christian reaching maturity in Christ? This series is to help you say yes, to get us as a church to a point where individually we can say, yes, I can help somebody. I can't do it perfectly. I don't have all the answers, but yes, I can start there. The structure of how we're going to be doing this series is over the next 10 weeks, and the 10th lesson is a review, so there'll be 9 lessons. Over that next 10 weeks, what we're going to be doing is focusing on learning the material in this book while at the same time asking ourselves the question, how am I as a disciple? I want to be a disciple. How am I doing? What areas of my life need to change, to be enhanced? Where are some of my successes? Because some of us are doing some good jobs in some areas, and then we have growth areas. But this book is to help us to get to the point where we say, yeah, you know what? I can help somebody. And I believe many of you here are not saying, oh, I'm not interested in discipleship. I think a lot of people here want to know how. But there's some fears that we have to go ahead. I think our hearts are in the right place. We just need to have some right tools to help us fulfill what we know we're called to do and want to do. And the basic premise to make a disciple is we're just helping people to construct the foundation of their Christian walk, of how do they launch out from here. Well, this comes from Matthew 28. And some of you have been in the church a while, you've heard this preached from missionaries and pastors and people and on the radio and all kinds of things. Some of you may have never heard this before. And wherever you are, I just want you to hear the mandate that Jesus has for us, his people, the church, once again. I'm going to begin reading verse 16. Your bulletin will not pick up at 16. It will highlight the focus. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Great obedience. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I think it's very clear. We can't skirt the issue. What is our clear mandate from Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself? Make disciples. We can do a lot of things. Men can go on retreat. We can serve many people, and it's a wonderful ministry next Saturday. You need to come out and come to clean up. It's a significant part of that ministry. Really, someone, come on, get your cell group, and as a group, come out, clean up. Such an important part. We can do all these wonderful things. And yet if we don't make disciples, we're missing the point. You see, what Men's Retreat and Hearts to Hands is doing, it's part of that whole process of making a disciple. It's not just to have good events and meaningful events. They're part of the journey of discipleship. the church is called to make disciples. We have a great challenge in front of us. The book has other resources that it sounds to be referencing. It says that within 3 months of making a confession to follow Jesus, most new believers walk away. Within 3 months. You and I have experienced this here at Morningstar. Last Christmas, for example, we had people come to know Jesus. At Easter, there were more people who came to know Jesus. And at both times, some for the very first time. I try to connect them one-on-one with somebody. I gave them a resource. The resource that we have, and I feel free because I was the one who was giving it to them. It's okay for about a 2 or 3, maybe 4 week period to just get it started, but it wasn't enough. And when I look around us today, some of those people who made decisions to follow Jesus aren't here anymore. And to my understanding, they're not going to church anywhere. The truth of the mandate and the obvious need to me that what we have here and what we need to do to make an impact within those first 3 months. The first 3 months is that time period is where the new life and the new beginning at the end of 3 months starts to become normal. And what happens within those first 3 months is the normal Christianity that they will perceive. So if someone comes to know Jesus and they end up just coming on a Sunday morning and for 3 months, that's normal Christianity. Hey, I'm doing it all right. No problem. But if it becomes normal for them to have the assurance of their salvation, and it becomes normal for them to pray, and it becomes normal for them to read the Bible, and it becomes normal to set Jesus as their highest priority, and that freedom means that they get to follow Jesus, it's a whole new start. Some of you have started as new believers and were never discipled. You're saying to yourself right now, man, you know, I know what that's like because that describes me. Well, this series that we're doing now is going to begin to address that challenge because what we're trying to do is not first learn how to make disciples, but to be a disciple. And this here is a foundation for us to begin. I pray that the Lord is stirring some of your hearts and minds even now to say, you know what? I need this for me. I need to walk in discipleship. First 3 months, the patterns. I don't know if some of you are into exercising or not, but a lot of us thought, I should walk every, if I walk 15 minutes a day, you know, I'm going to live a longer life, a happier life, and my wife would be happy, whatever. But I'm not much into walking. I get so bored in activities that I have to do, and I have to be thinking of something else. But let's pretend we want to start walking, not just any kind of walk, that's speed walking. You ever see the speed walking? It used to be an Olympic event. I don't know if it still is or not, but it's really fast walking. And 2 feet can't be off the ground at the same time. I mean, it looks really weird. There was a guy at seminary. He was competing at a high level in that, and he would practice all around campus, the speed walking. So let's say I'm going to take up speed walking. Well, getting up to speed walk isn't all that exciting. Maybe if you want to do it, maybe you'll be excited for the first week or two, but you got to get out there. And whatever you do over the next 3 months after that decision to start speed walking, that's how you're going to approach that whole issue. What would make speed walking a lot easier to engage in doing? If there's one other person who comes alongside you and say, hey, let's go. Let's do this together. Any exercise is easier with two. But as the speed walker, there's some adjustments because if the speed walker just starts walking at his speed, there's no way you're going to learn how to do that walk at that pace and at that distance. And so what the speed walker has to do has to begin to make adjustments. Teaching, movement, teaching the exercise, moving at a slow pace, allowing them to catch up and to learn and to walk alongside that other person until they know how to speed walk. That's what we're looking to do. Walking along somebody to help them learn to run the race with Jesus. But maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, because one of the things we need to ask too is, well, if we're going to be making disciples, what is a disciple? Well, at the core of it, at the heart issue, the way we describe a disciple is this. It's a follower of Jesus who is seeking to become Christ-like by learning to love God and others. I mean, now that's a mouth, it's only one statement, but it's a follower of Jesus. Somebody who says, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I trust in him. I have the forgiveness of sins. I believe I'm going to follow him. This is my way of life. I want to live my life like Jesus would live my life. This is where I want to go. And the objective is I want to become more and more like Christ, increasingly being transformed into his likeness. I want a heart that's like his heart. I want a mind that thinks like his mind. I want actions that reflect his actions. This is where I want to go. This is what it means to be a disciple. And we're in that our whole lives. We're increasingly, or should be increasingly, growing more and more like Jesus, being transformed by God to become more like him. And the primary way of doing that is learning to love God more and to love others. And then we could talk about some other things. But Jesus made disciples as well. So what is a disciple? Just so I say it one more time so we have a common understanding. It's a follower of Jesus who is seeking to become Christ-like by learning to love God and others. That's the objective. Well, okay, that's a disciple. Well, who's supposed to make disciples? Now, I know you guys know the answer to this question. You know where I'm going. But just in case, some may say, well, the pastors and maybe the elders, they need to make the disciples. They know what they're doing. They got education. They've learned a lot. Well, that misses the point. I would venture to say that the highest percentage of people being discipled were not discipled by pastors and elders, but by others. When we read in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, you know what we find there? Timothy was instructed by Paul, hey, I want you to go teach men who will be reliable and teach other men. That's how the church functions. In Titus chapter 2, he speaks to women, and he speaks to older women training younger women. But women teach women. See, the responsibility is disseminated into the whole church. It's all of our responsibility to teach people how to follow Jesus. That is that discipleship sort of mentality. And at times it boils down to, and this is the focus of the book, where it's that one-on-one connection of walking along one side where a man is coming alongside another man and said, hey, I'm going to walk with you for a little while and show you what it means to follow Jesus. Let's build a foundation for your life. It's a woman coming alongside of another woman says, you know what? I hear you just made a decision to follow Jesus. I want to come alongside you and I want to help you to build a foundation for your life. And at the end of the series, I hope I'm going to have names of some people that I can go to and say, hey, here's somebody, Betty made a new decision to follow Jesus. And so I can go to Wilma and say, hey, Wilma, will you disciple Betty? The most ideal situation, which I try to do, is that Betty would know somebody at Morningstar. And then we go to her friend and say, hey, would you spend some time? Would you disciple them? Now, you and I know the need. You and I know the mandate. What keeps us from doing this? Why are we not engaged in what we know we should be doing? Two primary issues that the book addresses, First Steps addresses. I'll give them both, then I'll talk about them just a little bit. One is, man, what am I going to teach? Is that issue, do I know enough? The second one is, and how much time is this going to take? The first one is, I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. I can't figure all this stuff out. What if they ask me questions I don't know that are theological questions? Or what is the basis of the information? What do I even talk about on a week-to-week basis? And that's where the resource comes in handy. Because what the resource does is it gives an outline of direction of what to go, of what to study, for you and the person being discipled. But we're not worried about that. That's 2016 right now, but I'm just letting you know in advance. And it lays out content and teaching in an outline that you don't have to memorize all the information. Now, we want to internalize it. We want to wrestle with it, have it become ours. You know, as the Spirit just kind of works and etches it into our heart and mind. But we don't have to sweat thinking, oh, did I remember? Did I get it all? Because it's all laid out here. You, as the person doing the discipling and the person being discipled, each have this book and move through it together. So you don't have to sweat, do you know enough? And all of us, I've been doing this 27 years, and I've had more schooling than that is absolutely never, nobody has ever needs as much education as I have, and it still hasn't hit as deep as it needs to hit in me. It has hit a lot of other people a lot deeper. But you don't need a degree to do this. We all have questions. We all get to the point where somebody says, we don't know the answer, but that's okay. Don't let it stop you from doing the work that we're called to do. How much time will it take? You know, I'm busy. I mean, a lot of you work, have family, have hobbies, have to take care of maybe a house if you have a house, or fix a car if you have a car. I mean, we're all busy. So how in the world am I going to fit this into my life? Well, they lay out a great pattern for doing this that I think it makes it very doable. And we can accomplish it the way they lay it out. Their challenge to us is just find one person in 2016 that you would disciple, just one person throughout the whole year. Okay, that can still take a lot of time, but let's narrow it down a little bit more. They say there are 10 lessons to build this foundation. You may need 10 to 12 weeks to do that. Oh, okay, 10 to 12 weeks out of 52. That's not bad. I can begin to work that a little bit more. Yep, yep. Well, how much time, see, you're waiting for the, how much time is it on a week-to-week basis? Well, the actual meeting time together is 1 hour a week. Now, think about that for a moment. You could help somebody engage in building a foundation for their life in a matter of an investment of 10 to 12 hours of interaction, friendship, over like a three-month period. That's doable. And let's say, well, I still don't have time. Well, rearrange your calendar. We're dealing with stuff of eternal nature. We need to engage just one person next year. I did think of another fear. Another fear, and the book does address it a little bit later, is that, you know, what if I'm dealing with somebody who has a lot of great needs? I mean, maybe there's some chemical issues or whatever sorts of issues out there, whatever. As a person doing the discipling, we're not counselors. We're not fundraisers. We're not like a bank. Our task is to get them to Jesus. And if they need help in these areas, we can find other help, but we don't have to solve those problems. Don't take those things upon yourself. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's pray. Let's get into his word. And remember, we're only a tool in the hands of God to assist them in building and constructing a foundation for their life so they could have a good start to their Christian faith. Okay, now let's get really practical now. How are we going to go through this material together? Over the next 10 weeks, what are we going to do? Well, first, once you leave here, you're going to start on lesson one. It's on assurance. And in lesson one, as each lesson, it's broken down into three sections. There's a conversation at the beginning, and the conversation is between Peter and Owen. One is a follower of Jesus. One is being discipled. Peter is the discipler, and I don't know if it's a real word, but Owen is the disciplee. And so what the conversation does, it just introduces the theme of what's being talked about in a creative sort of way. The next part of this is called consideration. And what you're going to see in consideration, there are 3 days of work. It's about that long for day one. You can get through this in probably 10 to 15 minutes. Now, some of you say, well, that's not going to get anybody very deep. Well, you got to remember, when you're learning to speed walk, you take little steps and little motion to learn how to do that. And this is a whole new life beginning. It will increase over the months, I'm sure, as God leads them and directs them. But day one, boom, you do that study. Day two, right there, the same thing. Day three, boom, right there. So 3 days. It's a whole new life, new transformation, a great new beginning. What you have over here is content. And what the content does is it begins to lay out and define and describe what was talked about in the consideration section. It's almost like more of a commentary on what had happened and the teaching, which serves a focus in a couple good ways. One is that when we meet together, I don't have to sweat that I remembered all the detail. It is right there. One thing I want you to remember, when you're working through day one, day two, day three, don't go to the content yet. What needs to happen is we need to learn to wrestle with the scripture, think through it. Let's not just get the right answer. Because the more we think and the more we wrestle, the more the Holy Spirit begins to ingrain that word in our heart and in our mind. So do the work on day one, day two, day three. Then on day four, you can begin to read through this material here. Very simple process. So then the next part, after you do this, you're going to meet in a cell group. In the cell group, you begin to discuss the topics of assurance for lesson one. To help reinforce, you go there. The first two questions are, you know, what questions do you have about the lesson today? What insights did you gain? And then there's a discussion. Cell group becomes a very vital part of this because most of the time on Sunday mornings, you're hearing a lecture. Within the cell group, you get to talk about these issues and learn these issues or lessons in a much deeper, more meaningful sort of way. Now, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't have a cell group. Well, we have cell groups. I even have a creative idea for you. Let's say there's a group of you say, you know what? I do want to go through that book, and there's about either 4 or 5 of us, maybe 8 or 10 of us, but we don't have a leader. We don't have a leader, so what are we going to do? Well, you can either go to a group, or I have a leader without a group. So if you have a group of friends who want to say, yeah, we want to work through this, we have a leader who doesn't have a group, we could put your group together with that leader, and we can make it happen. Or check over what groups are there. Or email me and we'll find you a group. So important in our discipleship. That way, then we're interacting and discipling even one another. The third part then is on Sunday. The sermon is when the final lesson or teaching on lesson one, assurance. So everything is done before Sunday, which just flip-flops all that we're doing. But this way, you wrestle with it, and then you hear about it. We generally say, you hear about it, then you wrestle with it. So for a season, we're going to switch that around. So if you have a question, you can text them to me. Now the focus over the next 10 weeks, I want to make this very clear, is that it's on to be a disciple. So you don't have to worry about coming alongside somebody. You just have to engage in the process of learning, who am I in Christ? Take this time to learn the material. And take the time to learn how to apply these lessons to your own life. Because I believe you want to go somewhere with Jesus, and this is a good way to begin. What is the difference between discipleship and Christian mentoring? Now, I don't have an official sort of response to that, but I will answer it in two different ways. One, I think it may be a matter of semantics where sometimes it's just interchanged. If some people want to call this Christian mentoring that we're helping somebody work through a book, that's great. But I think when it comes to mentoring, sometimes there's another definition that we look at. It is then helping somebody through different parts of their life. We're training them to become something. This discipleship is more focused on what we're doing. Mentoring may open it up to many more areas of life and bigger parts. parts of life. So I don't know if I answered your question well, but I think at times it can be synonymous. What qualifies a leader? Now, I want to put it in context here. Let's say, what qualifies a person as a leader to be a disciple? So when I'm going to disciple somebody, what qualifies me to do that? Jesus. And I'm not trying to be funny. Jesus qualifies you. He has called you to make disciples. So you are a leader in his eyes of somebody else. He will equip you. Matter of fact, in Matthew 28, he has all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he has the authority to call you. And the very end is, I will be with you to the very end of the age. He is not going to launch you out into a ministry, set you in motion, say, hey, good luck, hope it happens well. He will be with you all the way through to the end, empowering you to be the leader you need to be in that connection, and empowering you with wisdom and insight. The Holy Spirit can help you through that time. So in a discipleship sort of connection, we can think of it as others have in terms of ducks. Well, let's not use ducks. Let's use Canadian geese, because they seem to proliferate, and they seem to be on Auburn Road. And when mama has mama ducks, they seem to always want to cross Auburn Road when I'm driving down Auburn Road. And so you've seen big Canadian mama goose walking across, you know, the street, stop to look at the cars. And behind her is all these little baby Canadian geese. You know those stupid thoughts you have in your head, like Canadian geese say, like, that kind of, but that wouldn't even be funny, so I'm not even going to go there. So I stopped it before it even got out. And so, so think of the little Canadian, I was going to say gooselets. they're all following mama. The one behind mama is following mama, but how about the one who's leading the one behind? What's important? Because they're just following the one who's behind mama. What's important is the one that they're following is following mama. It's just a step ahead of them. Not a whole lot more mature, but they're a step ahead. And as long as they keep following mama, they can lead the way to the people behind them. That's what leadership is about in this. You keep following the mama goose, and those who come behind you are following you, eventually they're going to be on their own. They're going to come to a place where they won't be following you anymore in that line. They'll be off on their own, leading some others. So that's what I think about leadership when I think about first steps and discipleship. God has called you. God has equipped you and me to make disciples. Our decision is, do I intend to make them? And will I take that risk? Because it gets scary, doesn't it? Thinking, oh man, I want to take on this responsibility. But once you engage and once it happens, you and I, Morningstar together, will begin to reap the blessings of that. Any other question to come in? Worship team, why don't you come on up? As they're coming up, you can be making decisions in your own heart and mind about, do I intend to be a disciple? And in 2016, do I intend to make a disciple? To be engaged in that process. This is the mandate of Jesus. He modeled it. He showed us how to do it. Will we join him in that? So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we have heard the call of Jesus to make disciples, some here for many years, that we hardly even hear it anymore, Lord. And so that we've built up some calluses to that very verse in our hearts. And Lord, what we're saying now is, would you soften our heart one more time? Would you help us to hear the call to fulfill your word and to make disciples? Lord, may we engage and may we find the joy of following you and obeying you. And Lord, for those who follow behind us, and we all have those people, may they find us following hard after Jesus.